Merci.
Papa nous fait coquin. Jouette la patte pour moyen. Pour mettre les crétins. Les quatre des biopas. Pour piquer toujours mort. L'or aimé c'est tracas. Sentiment barré mort.
Points of Light, WMFO. Welcome to another edition. I'm here, Jay, with you until 10 p.m. And we are doing a show about the 90s today. That's exactly right, because I read this book by Chuck Klosterman called The 90s. Very ironic, not very ironic in its title. And he goes on about basically everything that happened in the 90s. It's like a massive scope. It's like a huge, huge undertaking. And so, you know, he talks about music and politics and culture and how things are changing and have changed. Maybe the last decade of innocence or the last decade that's kind of changed our thinking about everything and sort of how it led into the social media that came in the years. It was only about maybe 10 or so years. Well, maybe 2003, 2004 is when social media became a prominent thing and changed the landscape of life ever since. Anyway, so let's not get into that yet. Where are we at now? So I think there's really only one way to start this show. If we're going to have a show about the 90s, we kind of have to start it about with Nirvana's Nevermind, with It Smells Like Teen Spirit, who Chuck Klosterman says is the last great rock song, because it changed everything. It was the last song that sort of influenced culture on the whole. I think that since then there hasn't been anything that really captured the cultural zeitgeist as that song did. So we're going to start the show off with this one, 1,000 Points of Light, WMFO.
We'll be right back.
sky was made of amethyst, and all the stars are just like little fish. You should learn when to go. You should learn how. Shoeless.
Honey, bring it close to your lips, yes.
All right, Rebel Girl from Bikini Kill. 1,000 Points of Light, WMFO. Prior to that, we had Tori Amos with Professional Widow. And that was preceded by Hole's Violet from Live Through This. And Nirvana started things off with Smells Like Teen Spirit from Nevermind. So this is a show, it's going to be all about the 90s, because I'm reading that book by Chuck Klosterman about the 90s, called The 90s. And a lot of good music referenced, some bad music too, of course. Not everything was good in that entire decade. I think it's interesting that, so obviously we had Kurt Cobain, and we had Courtney Love, and then we had Professional Widow, which was like allegedly Tori Amos's reaction to how she didn't like how Courtney Love was behaving in the wake of Kurt Cobain's death, as somebody who was just had a running a little cottage industry about being a widow. Who had lost a special someone, yet somebody whose death actually gave her more money or got her more money because of all the renewed interest in Nirvana's material. Anyway, so that's sort of like my point here, which is made by Klosterman in the book. He's saying that part of the 90s was about succeeding without really trying, or you couldn't really be aggressively seeking like success, aggressively. With everybody knowing it, it was sort of looked down upon or frowned upon, which is kind of true. I mean, the book is full of contradictions, and that, of course, is one, certainly later in the 90s, it's a lot more common for people to be trying to succeed overtly, not just in the arts and in music, but if you look at somebody like Garth Brooks and the whole country scene kind of exploding, a lot of those artists were looking to be as harmless and unchallenging as possible. So it's sort of, it's like every generalization comes with a caveat, so I just wanted to mention that. All right, here we go. Up next, this is Mudhoney, staying with the Seattle stuff. Touch Me, I'm Sick from Super Fuzz Big Muff. 1,000 Points of Light, WMFO.
Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, yes. Nice. It's a nice song. It's a nice song about tough times with drugs. River of Deceit from Mad Season, from the above record, part of that Black Hole Sun from Soundgarden, from the Super Unknown release. Pearl Jam's Jeremy from 10, and then we started things off with Mudhoney, Touch Me, I'm Sick from Superfuzz, Big Muff. So what's going on here, in case you haven't guessed, it's no, we're not playing grunge the whole night, but we are playing songs from the 90s because I just read, I'm still reading it. But I couldn't wait to finish the book before having a show. It's not really talking about music anyway. It's right now it's talking about like school violence. It's kind of depressing. So I just thought, to hell with it. I'll finish the book, but I want to keep going and have my show devoted to the inspired by the book. And yeah, obviously there's a big section in there, or a sizable section on 90s music, early 90s, particularly with grunge. And there's, you know, a big influence of drugs and drug use on that scene. And of course, Mark Lanegan just passed. He of the Screaming Trees, part of that very much. And he was also part of Mad Season as well, which I didn't really know. They gave him like a full share as well. I think he only co-wrote a couple songs. That's Elaine Staley. I think Barrett Martin from the Screaming Trees is also in that group as well. And so it was, you know, it's like a drug and heroin use touched all of those bands. Nirvana, obviously, Alice in Chains, Soundgarden, kind of. I mean, it's untimely death, not just drug use. Mark Lanegan, you can say he didn't treat himself very well, so that everything kind of cut off with him eventually. And so, you know, the only band that wasn't really touched by that was Pearl Jam, and so they continue to record. In fact, Eddie Vedder has a new record out. He just put one out, I think, last month. So they're like the only band that's been generally untouched by all of that. In fact, you know, it's worth noting that Pearl Jam, Eddie Vedder is originally from San Diego, so he flew up to, I think he was made a connection through a demo tapes that were passed back in like the late 80s, and he kind of got connected with the folks in Mother Love Bone and all that whole crowd. So that was about 1990, and he went up to Seattle and kind of became part of that scene. So it was sort of interesting how, you know, I mean, certainly anybody in that band could have overdosed or whatever, but it's like they largely became an entity that you know, they kicked the drummer out, but they've sort of been the same more or less ever since. So that's sort of interesting as well and noted in the book. All right, let's move on. Up next, speaking of drugs, Junkhead from Alice in Chains up here right now, 1,000 Points of Light, 91.5 Medford.
Thank you.
All right, nothing but the hits right here in 1,000 Points of Light, 91.5 Medford, and Smashing Pumpkins with 1979 from the Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness massive double record. Before that, Green Day, Longview, first single from Dookie. They had put out two records before that on the independent label out of San Francisco, whose name escapes me. So it's not like that was their first record or anything. But, you know, there was like this hyperactive pop punk that sort of got injected into the popular music scene about 1994. Before that, Stone Temple Pilots, Interstate Love Song. I mean, commercial radio loved this band so much. They just seemed like they were, speaking like a true Gen Xer, it seemed like they had somehow ripped off Alice in Chains and all the other bands that had sort of seemed a little more real. I don't know what it was. And of course, Alice in Chains started off that set with Junkhead from Dirt. 1,000 Points of Light, 91.5 Medford. So I wanted to play in 1979 because this is, first of all, if you're just joining us, you missed a great show, or at least first half of one. Still one more hour to go. And I wanted to play 1979 because in the book, The 90s, which is my inspiration for the show here tonight by Chuck Klosterman, it's... you know, he goes on about how there's always this nostalgia for an era that happened 20 years prior. So the 90s were nostalgic for the 70s, and the 80s were nostalgic for the 60s, and on back to 70s nostalgic for the 50s. So, I mean, you get the idea. But what's funny is that, you know, I didn't really like the 70s when I was in the 90s. I wasn't really longing for that. But there is a lot of truth to what he's saying. Remember the film Days of Confused, all about 1976. Frequent listeners of the show will know that I had a show devoted to that movie about a month ago. So it's extremely important to me. And so I must therefore acknowledge the importance of the 70s when I was growing up in the 90s. But anyway, so that's sort of what the deal is here. And that's a point is further evidenced by the movie Reality Bites, which gets a kind of a cumbersome write-up here in the book, The 90s. I actually didn't see the movie. I couldn't bring myself to do it. I felt like it was too much, and that's also very 90s to not even see this thing that's supposed to be massive, you know, an encapsulation or the end of like this 90s, like, let's not be too happy about being successful thing. And I couldn't even go to see the film. It was too much. It was, like, too popular. It was, like, there's too much hype on it, and just the name, I couldn't stand it. So I didn't even see it, and I still haven't seen it. But the film is known for having this song by The Knack called My Sharona to evidence the fact that there was nostalgia for the 70s and the 90s. And here we are, 1,000 Points of Light, 91.5 Medford.